Well, trials testing the merits of virtual fencing in Tasmania are set to become a commercial reality later this year. Melbourne agritech startup Agisons has been working with TIA and the CSIRO on solar-powered cattle collars. The cattle are trained to stay within a virtual boundary that's been GPS mapped by the farmer. Larissa Smith spoke to the company's Charlton Hongi.
We have just finished our 36th research trial to test different aspects of the system. We have a number of early adopters in our program for commercial trials. They range from Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania and New Zealand. Certainly we've been very proactive in the research areas and the scientific areas with publications.
So we're standing in front of a small mob of steers that have these collars attached to them. Just describe where this virtual fence is and how these collars are fitted.
Okay, so these animals actually don't have a virtual fence activated today. For a system to be set up, the animals need to go through about a week of very basic engineering testing to make sure the collars are working correctly and that they're reporting through to the base station and the software. And then the animals are turned out into a training paddock similar to this one, which is about 5 acres. You would put 10 to 20 head in 5 acres and run a very simple virtual fence across the centre of the paddock and allow the animals to interact with it without any pressure. The animals learn very, very quickly that once they approach a virtual fence and get within 5 metres of it, the collar emits a loud tone, which is their warning to say that they're reaching a fence. And if they progress further forward, they get an electrical pulse that's emitted from the neckband. It's a short, sharp, static pulse, about 30% of a mains electric fence, and that's enough to deter them from walking forward. They learn within 24 to 36 hours to stop on the beep, that the beep is the signal for them that there is a boundary. And that's how the effective grazing control comes into play. Once they've completed their training, they're turned out into a paddock and they can be used to move and control pasture with virtual fences very, very easily.
So there's a solar pack attached to the collar itself?
Yep, so the collars work autonomously. They don't need to be interchanged or recharged. The solar panels are there to recharge the battery in the collar. The collars will work by themselves for, we're predicting 5 to 7 years as a minimum. The solar panels are kept facing upwards with a counterweight that hangs under the neck. And that's just to make sure that we always have maximum solar collection.
Can they get them off?
Look, animals, if they try really, really hard and they have access to a rubbing point, they can snag a collar. They potentially, because we fit them quite loose, and that's for a comfort reason for the animal, we don't want to have any rubbing on the necks. And that's why the counterweight is important as well, because the collar can spin around quite easily, so they can't rub against it. But there is a safety mechanism in the buckle that if they do get snagged on something and they lean back against it, the buckle will pop open and strip out and drop. The collar will drop on the ground. And because they're GPS connected, you can just look on your software and walk out into the paddock and pick it up and put it back on the animal.
What sort of information are you getting back onto your phone or device to tell you what these cows are actually doing?
We have a number of systems running in the collar at once with accelerometers and magnetometers paired up with the GPS system. We can get movement in paddock. We can get resting times. As we're looking at these cattle now, they're quite content chewing their cuds and resting. So the rumination periods, we can get feeding in paddock. Part of our package is being able to heat map a paddock, and so you can quite closely cover and get reports on how effectively they're grazing that paddock. Cattle tend to selectively graze paddocks, and you tend to get only between 50 and 60% of the paddock effectively grazed, and some areas that are completely grazed out and damaged. So this system will allow you to get them to graze to a certain point and then move them on and exclude them from that area and allow the pasture to regrow.
So what's the cost difference between these collars and putting a fence in?
Look, it depends on what region you're in, but fencing probably in these more intensive grazing areas can cost upwards of $10,000 a kilometre. If you're trying to collar, or if you're trying to fence in 100 animals in a controlled grazing system, so rotational or strip grazing, it could cost you $50,000 to $60,000 to effectively control those animals. We're saying that to collar the same herd of animals with the East Shepherd system will cost about $35,000.
How long does it take for the farmer to get their money back?
Look, depending on their output and what their productivity measures are, if they can get a 20% increase in carrying capacity, the system pays for itself very, very quickly. If you can get more animals on pasture and you can get them turned off the pasture quickly, then your productivity goes up. At the other end of the scale, you're saving money on fencing costs, on labour costs, and the maintenance costs of standard fencing anyway.
What are the detractors from this working in a commercial setting? The RSPCA has voiced some opposition to this.
Look, overall the RSPCA has been quite supportive of our methods and the way that we've gone about and done our work on the welfare of animals. The welfare of animals has been absolutely our number one priority. And the health and the well-being of animals in a productive system is absolutely related to the productivity of that system and in turn the profit for the farmer. So getting that right and getting the animals right is very important.
Charlton Honig, the Business Development Manager with Aegisons, talking there to Larissa Smith about virtual fencing on the Country Hour. Well, across the ditch, farmers are probably ahead of the pack when it comes to adopting this sort of technology. Instead of using the human eye to tell if a cow is in heat, for example, Kiwi farmers are kitting them out with collars. Elizabeth Rietveld lives on a 600-cow farm near Invercargill at the bottom of the South Island and works for consulting firm Centre for Dairy Excellence. She spoke to Margot Kelly during a recent Rotary study tour of Tasmania.
So one of the things, or one of the pieces of technology that a lot of our forward-thinking farmers are utilising is a collar that the cows are wearing that is alerting farmers to any sick cows that are out there, being able to help with their health and welfare on farm, even staff welfare on farm, because it's pretty busy for those farmers that are, you know, calving in August and going right through to Christmas. So it's picking out of bulling cows, silent heats and things. So adoption of technology can be quite a scary thing for some farmers, but just talking to those farmers and seeing how it could really benefit them on farm. We're all quite time poor on farm, so yeah, that's quite a trend at the moment in New Zealand.
How much of a trend? How many farmers are actually putting collars on their cows?
So in terms of the collars that we work with, so the Allflex collars, there is around 40,000 collared cows in New Zealand now.
What does the collar actually tell you? It's often paralleled to like a fitness tracker,
yeah,
which for humans track pulse and calorie burn and all this sort of stuff. What does the cow tracker actually look at?
Okay, so what it is there's a whole lot of algorithms and a lot of time and effort been put into it, but effectively, for every minute of the cow's day, there is logged cow behaviour, and all of those things come together to form a profile. So the main profiles we look at are the activity of a cow and the rumination of a cow, and those are the two main things we're looking at, as opposed to your fitness tracker, which is a pedometer. It's a one-way up and down movement of the cow's feet. Rather, this is a full accelerometer, a little bit like your Nintendo Wii that you play soccer and tennis with. Yeah, so it's kind of what we're looking at.
And what does that then tell the farmer about the cow?
So they can make heaps of decisions on this. So we do have to be careful. Data on farm, it's going to become even more prevalent. So we need to make sure that we can actually help the farmers with this data to actually have new things that they can change on farm to have better practices, get better production. So, for example, you can see a sick cow earlier than potentially you could see it with your eyes. You're able to then treat her and see that instant feedback, know that for sure that your staff are actually doing what they say they're doing on farm. A little bit creepy, it's a little bit like eyes in the back of your head. Breaking out onto fodder beet, that is a massive one in New Zealand. It's a huge tool to be able to see what cows have actually been affected by it and to be alerted by it even earlier than say you've gone out and seen them on fodder beet.
With fodder beet, if cows gorge themselves on fodder beet, that can be quite dangerous.
Yes, yep, for sure, and a very expensive vet bill as well, if not animals on the ground, unfortunately, or out the back in the hole. So we really, really have to be quite specific on that, and that just the collar's just another tool. We still need to be farmers with this sort of technology, but a fantastic tool that you can be utilising, especially with reproduction and fodder beet and things.
What's the payback? Because for a lot of technology, it's a big capital cost. Does it end up being worth it for your average farm to make this investment, in your opinion?
Yeah, so I mean, on farm, I mean, if I put my farmer's hat in, we are paying something that lasts for 7 years and we'd get the return within about 2 or 3 years. So, I mean, on farm, if I implemented it, we'd be potentially saving on submissions, so not putting cows up and wasting semen. We're getting cows and calf earlier. So we have a tighter calving spread. We've got, say, 21 days of milk. 21 days for a number of cows on a farm, I mean, that really starts adding up. If I could save some cows on my farm that were preventable deaths, rather than, say, being in the back paddock, they're then on a cull truck. It gives more cull options. It's just, oh, you could go on forever. It really is. Feed nutritiency. The main thing is probably trying to just get 20% more out of 20% less, and we've really got to push on, especially in New Zealand, around environmental and sustainability and having that welfare on farm for both humans and animals, and that would be even a massive driver. There's some quite a lot of unmeasurables with this. A farmer said to me recently, you know, we can talk about return on investment, but one of the best things for me is that for the first time between the 1st of August and Christmas, I actually got to have breakfast with my kids. And he said, you know, that doesn't come on a return on investment, but that just changed everything. So, yeah, there's quite a few unmeasurables there as well.
What's been your impression of where Tasmania is at with that sort of technology adoption?
It's been really interesting going around and actually seeing Tasmanian farms, different and all different, you know, similarities and differences. But I do wonder if New Zealand is actually a bit more ahead. There have been different things that have been talked about here that haven't necessarily been approached on all farms. Been beautiful farms and amazing farmers that we've talked to, and they've been so open and lovely to us. It's been so remarkable. So, yeah, the people are just so lovely. There's lots of things that they're looking at New Zealand for, they've told us, and I'd say technology is one of them. We've had a discussion around, and you can just see these wee things on farm that they're saying is not an issue but just something they're working on, and you can actually see where certain technologies could really help them. Another farmer that's with us on the group actually uses a lot of technology on his farm in Oamaru in New Zealand, and he was saying himself that he can see so many different things, even down to irrigation and bits and pieces like that. So yeah, technologies in every aspect, not just health and reproduction. They're It's just so many tools out there. But they are tools. We still need to be farmers.
Elizabeth Rietveld from the Centre for Dairy Excellence in New Zealand, speaking there with Margot Kelly during a visit to Tasmania on a Rotary Study Exchange, talking about the take-up of new technology.